Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina ya arhamar rahimin. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone, for joining me for this next, our fourth class, I believe it is, of the two migrations of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. It's called Tariqul Hijratain, a beautiful, beautiful book written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, which we have been studying for the last three classes. This is our fourth class. And so I've been reading through the text, explaining it as we go through the book. And this book, you know, a brief summary is that this book is about closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finding your way, your path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it's about your journey to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he named it Tariq Hijratain, the two migrations. A migration to Allah and migration to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Now, he began this text by talking about a quality that is part of our hearts. It's part of the way we think. It should be a part of the way we see the world. And he said that this quality is the most foundational aspect of your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Arabic for that term is called faqr. And faqr translates as complete dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word in Arabic faqir is someone who literally has nothing at all, is completely dependent on other people. And so he says, and what he explains to us is that the primary first step that a person has to realize, and by realize, what I mean by that is, he says that you really have to embody it and truly believe it in your heart that this is an aspect of who you are. Once a person reaches that stage, only then and after that can a person progress, go forward to the next stage. And so Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, we just got to the point last class where he began to explain the different levels of faqr. And it's beautifully written, mashallah. And so I'm going to pick up where we left off from last class, last week, inshallah ta'ala. And yeah, inshallah, I pray that it's beneficial for all of us, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So if you're on Instagram, we're also on YouTube right now. We're also on Facebook Live. And you can see the text as I'm reading. So if you want to switch over to one of those platforms, you'll be able to see the text as I'm reading it and teaching this class, inshallah ta'ala. All right, let's go forward, inshallah. Bismillah. Ta'rifu al-faqr wa darajatihi inda al-harawi wa tafsiru kalamihi. Qala shaykh al-Islam al-Ansari, al-faqr ismu libara'ati min ru'yati al-malakati wa huwa ala thalathati darajat. He says that one of his teachers said that al-faqr, true dependency is, it translates as, it's a word which means bara'a min ru'yatil malakati, when a person is completely free from seeing their own power, when a person is completely free from seeing their own power. This is how he defines this concept of dependency or faqr. And then he says that وَهُوَ عَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ دَرَجَاتِ. And in reality, there are three levels to this concept of al-faqr, complete dependence. He says, number one, before we go forward, I want to explain this really broad this broad definition. The translation or the definition that he gives is a word that means bara'a min ru'yatil malakati, that a person is free from seeing their own ability. I think this is very empowering, actually, because one of the things that can stress us out the most is when we're constantly looking at our own ability or inability or lack thereof of ability, right? That is something that is extremely stressful for us. You know, we have to do something, we have to get some work done, whether it's for work, whether it's for school, whether it's for the family, financially, whatever it may be. When we're constantly looking at our ability and assessing whether we can get the job done, that becomes extremely stressful for us. And one of the qualities that he's beginning it by telling us, wait, this quality that you need to begin your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that quality is when you no longer see your ability at all. You completely don't even look at your ability whatsoever. And I think that's extremely empowering for us as believers to realize that, wait, before I even look at my abilities, I have to realize I have no ability, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is the true means, and by Him everything happens. I think that's an extremely powerful and empowering aspect of our spiritual maturation and growth. But then Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, mashallah, he goes in deep. He says that this quality actually has three levels. There's three levels. So he's like, you know, like we say level up, right? Like, you know, level up. You got to take your game to another level. One of the things I think is important for millennial young Muslims to understand is that the tradition has left us with these amazing concepts about spiritual maturation. You know, sabr, faqr, patience, dependency, hub, love, hatred, all of these different states of the heart, all of these different, there's levels of them. And once you start to study those, you begin to go on this amazing spiritual journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And quite frankly, there's no end to it, because there's no end to the closeness to Allah that you can get. So it's an amazingly beautiful concept that he says, look, faqr itself has three levels to it. And he's trying to teach you that level one is this, level two, and then level three is this high level, but you're always striving to get to a deeper level there. And that is a process that I call spiritual maturation, where you're slowly becoming more and more spiritually mature. Your sabr becomes more mature, your patience, your forbearance, all of these things slowly becomes more and more mature. So let's look at the different levels. He goes, Ad-darajatul ula, and we did this one last week. He says, Ad-darajatul ula faqr az-zuhad. He says the first level of this dependency is the dependency of the people who just gave up the dunya, like completely gave up like all hopes and aspirations for the world. وَهُوَ نَخْذُ الْيَدَيْنِ مِنْ دُنْيَا ضَبْتًا وَأَوْ طَلَبًا. He says that what this means is when you completely dust off your hands from the dunya. You know, like when you're done with work, you dust off your hands. Similar, he uses the same like concept. When you're done with the dunya, you're like, I'm not going to touch it again, right? You only not dust off your hands when you're not going to touch something again. وَإِسْكَاتُ الْلِسَانِ عَنْهَا ذَمًا أَوْ مَدْحًا. He says the other sign of this level is when a person, their tongue, they don't speak about the world anymore, whether it be to criticize it or to praise it. So this is really interesting, because when we talk about love of the dunya, and we're going to talk in more detail about love of the world in more detail later throughout the book, but just real brief, like the concept of love of the world in Islamic spirituality is that your heart
was created to love Allah, but it was placed in this dunya where it is surrounded by beautiful and attractive things. And those beautiful and attractive things have the ability to grab and seize our attention. And then if we really get caught up in them, they have an ability to grab and seize our heart. And once anything seizes your heart of the dunya, then now you have fallen in love with something of the world, and you are no longer, there's no more space in your heart for love of Allah. And I know it may sound like the, you know, zero sum, like, wait, I can't love anything of the dunya and love Allah. Well, yes and no. One of the things we have to understand is that the higher love will always trump the lower love. So yes, you can have two loves, but at the same time, the way you know which one is the higher love is which one you sacrifice for which. And so that's the concept behind love of dunya. It's about Allah created this heart for his remembrance. And so the thing that satiates, fills, and should be the object of love with inside the heart is Allah. But the problem lies when we create other loves trying to satiate ourselves, satiate the heart. And Allah says, no, there's only one place. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub. So at this point, the Imam, he's speaking about our tongue though. He says, one state of dependence is when you completely give up the dunya, right? You're like, I completely depend on Allah. I don't need the dunya anymore. And then he says, the sign of that is you dust off your hands. The second is that your tongue, you don't even speak about the dunya anymore. The third sign that you've reached this level is that you're at peace whether you get it or don't get it. Whether you get it or don't get it, that is the sign that you've mastered this level. And then he takes us to level two. All right. So let's do Darajat Thani. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, he says, Ad-Darajat Thani الرجوع إلى سبق بمطالة الفضل وهو يورث خلاص من رؤية الأعمال ويقطع شهود الأحوال ويمحص من أدناس المطالعة المقامات. He says, listen, one of the major problems that we have, the more work that we do, the more active we are, the more go-getter spirit you have inside of you, then you fall into another problem. So let's back up for a moment. Let's back up for a moment here. What we're literally talking about at this moment is this concept of complete dependence on Allah. That is the topic of this section of the book. And the Imam explained to us that there's different levels of this complete dependence. The word in Arabic is faqr, just like the Urdu word faqir or the Arabic word faqir. Like that's the level you want to get to. Then Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he told us that there's three levels to it. There's three levels to this complete dependence. And not even dependence, it's like impoverishment to Allah. The first level is you give up the dunya. You give up the dunya. I don't want the dunya. And by definition, guys, dunya definition is anything from the world that takes you away from Allah. So there was a question I quickly saw, like someone was asking, is this certain work that we do, you know, is this considered dunya? Well, yes, you do it in the dunya, but that's not of this world. That's from another, that's divine work. I hope y'all feel me on that. That's not of this world. It's done in this world, but it's not of this world because it's done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep that in mind. Then the second level though, now we're going to the second level of this concept. He says, "Arruju ila sabqi bi mutala'atil fadli," going back to the divine grace of Allah by looking at his bounty. And this will cause you to be free from looking at your own actions, and it will stop you from witnessing your own state, and it will clean you from the dirt of looking at your own level. All right, hear me out on this. This is heavy stuff. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi says this, when you are on a journey to Allah, when you are on this path, there's a lot of good deeds and good things that you have to do. And there's a lot of spiritual states that you have to go through. And those are beautiful spiritual states, right? Like just different states of tawakkul on Allah, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of Allah. These are all beautiful states. What he says is, on this second level of complete dependence, you constantly go back to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace by looking at his bounty. So what does this mean? Sabaq means what's before you. So he says you go back to what's before you by looking at his grace. What does this mean? It literally means that you remember where you came from and how Allah's grace brought you to where you are today. This is level two. Now he says, when you do that, the effect is it will cause you to be free from looking at your own actions. What do I mean by that? So depending on your spiritual maturity level, you know, like some people are at a level with their spirituality where they need to be told that they're doing a good job. They need to hear that. They need someone to say, hey, great job. Wow. You know, you read Quran today. Amazing job. Right? Because they need that at this point in the stage. At this point where they're at. But there's a higher level where looking at your actions only distracts you from progress. Looking at your actions only distracts you from progress. You know what I'm saying? Like, so as athletes become better, you know, when Steph Curry has an amazing game, he's not in the game watching himself. He's not in the game like, look at me. You know, like he's not doing that. He's so busy mastering, perfecting his skill that he doesn't even see himself. He doesn't even see himself. And so there's a deep concept in Islamic spirituality where you stop looking at your own actions, the good actions that you do. You stop looking at those actions because they're distracting you from moving forward. But hear me out though. Some of us in this class right now, some of us listening may be like, yo, I'm at this level where, man, I need to see the good actions that I'm doing because I'm doing so little of them that I just need to be reminded of the good I'm doing so I feel empowered to go forward. And I'm like, yes, that's good. If me and you are best friends, I'm going to call you up and be like, yo, mashallah, you read so much. Yo, how much Quran? Yo, you read Quran today? Yo, mashallah, man, that's what's up, yo. That's what's up. But on another phone call 10 years from now, I'm going to be like, you know, like if you be like, oh, I read Quran today, I'm like, yeah, big deal. So what? What you mean? You supposed to do that, bro. Like, and it's just like working out. You know what I'm saying? Like when you in the first days of working out, trying to get in shape, like you're going to the gym is like a big deal. Everyone, you walk back home sweaty from the gym. Everybody's like, get them some food, get them some water. But after you become a seasoned athlete, it's like you don't even see that anymore. That's normal. So I hope y'all feel me on this concept of freeing yourself from seeing your actions. Now, one more thing about seeing the actions. When you see your good actions and you become impressed with them, then now you also stop yourself from progress because I'm so good. I'm good, yo. My game is tight. So that's the concept of not seeing your actions. You want to keep pushing forward so you're not looking at those actions because once you start getting impressed with yourself, then you stop making progress. MashaAllah. Then he says, the other thing that looking from back where you came from and how Allah put you there, the other thing it will do is it will stop you from seeing your state. Now, this is similar to seeing your actions, but this is about your spiritual state. So hear me out. Like, the concept that I really want people to start to learn is spiritual maturation, which is you go through different states of spirituality until we meet back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the state or hal that you're in, you may be in a very good state with Allah, but again, when you start witnessing that state, then you stop progress. So it's the exact same concept Now, I'm gonna go to the next one, but before I go to the next one, I really want everyone to understand that depending on your level of spirituality, you may still need to see your actions for you to feel that encouragement to keep pushing forward, right? So that's why he said this is level two. That's why he said this is level two. And then level three, Bismillah, he says, الدرجة الثالثة صحة الاضطرار ووقوعي في يد التقطع الوحدانية والاحتباس في قيد التجريد وهو فقر صوفية. He says that the third level is to have pure need and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for you to be in, see yourself completely in the control of one alone. That's it. And you are stuck by witnessing tajreed, the oneness, singularity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let's go forward, because now he's going to start breaking these things down. He says, وَقَوْلُهُ الْفَقْرِ اسْمٌ لِبَرَاءَةِ مِنْ رُؤْيَةِ الْمَلِكَةِ. He says that the definition that I gave for complete poverty, complete impoverishment and dependency upon Allah, the definition that we gave was freedom from seeing your ability. He says, يعني, what I mean to say is أن الفقير هو الذي, that the true poor person before Allah, the true poor person before Allah is the one who يجرد رؤية الملك لمالك الحق. This person only sees one controller, Allah, for all of their abilities. For all of their abilities. فيرى نفسه مملوكة لله. This person sees themselves as completely owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا يرى نفسه مالكا. And this person does not see themselves as the owner. As the owner. And I think this is so important. بوجه من الوجوه. And no definition. And I think we live in an age where it's all about freedom of choice. My freedom of choice. And I think sometimes what we can do is we can take our servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and kind of use that to bolster this independence, that I'm so free, I can do whatever I want, and use this to kind of say, my choice, my choice, my choice. Yeah, okay, it's your choice. That's beautiful. But at this point, in order for you to grow spiritually, you have to actually see yourself as a complete slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have no ability. He is completely in control of you. That's it. And he says, وَيَرَى أَعْمَالَهُ مُسْتَحَقَّةً عَلَيْهِ. Here's the reason why. And you see your actions as مُسْتَحَقْ عَلَيْهِ. You are indebted. They are a debt upon you. They are a debt upon you. بِمُقْتَضَى كَوْنِهِ. Because you are a complete owned slave put to work by your master. You are a completely owned slave put to work by your master. So you work out of being indebted. This is heavy, brothers and sisters. Feel me out on this one. We don't worship Allah because, you know, we're doing ihsan, na'udhu billah. We're doing a favor to Allah. Complete opposite. Complete opposite. The complete flip of that is no. I owe Allah everything. Complete slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, فَلَيْسَ مَالِكًا لِنَفْسِهِ وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ مِّن ذَرَّاتِهِ وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ مِّن عَمَالِهِ. You are not the owner. You don't see yourself as the owner of yourself, not even the any part of you, and even not your actions. بَلْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ. Rather, everything of you, مُسْتَحَقْ عَلَيْهِ, is indebted and is owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَرَجُلٍ, he says, like a person, اشْتَرَى عَبْدًا بِخَالِسِ مَالِهِ ثُمَّ عَلَّمَهُ بَعْضِ صَنَائِهِ. You know, subhanAllah, he gives an example, and the way I'm going to make this example make sense for our woke community out there is, you know, a person buys a dog. A person buys a dog, a hunting dog, right? And this person nurtures the dog, takes care of the hunting dog, trains the hunting dog, puts hours and hours into training this hunting dog. And, you know, and then finally, this dog is now ready to do work. And so he goes out hunting and he makes his dog work for him. So he hunts, he shoots something down. The dog has to go and grab it and bring it back to him. And subhanAllah, the dog, one of the signs that the dog or even a bird of prey is trained is that it doesn't act for its own volition. It only acts out of the will of the master. And so what he says is, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching you, after Allah nurturing you, after Allah blessing all of these blessings upon you, he says, your state should be just like that dog, that you see yourself as completely owned by Allah, and whatever work you do goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, فَلَمَّ تَعَلَّمَهَا قَالَ لَهُ اِعْمَلْ. So Allah put us to work. وَأَدِّي إِلَيْهِ. And Allah said, you work for me. فَلَيْسَ لَكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. None of it's for you. It's not for you. وَلَا فِي كَسْبِكَ شَيْءٍ. You won't get anything from what you work for. فَلَوْ حَسَلَ بِيَدِي هَذَا الْعَبْدِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. So whatever this dog gets during the hunt, whatever it captures, all of that goes back to who? This dog will see everything it gets as a wadi'a, something placed as a trust in his hand. وَأَنَّهَا, and in fact, it is owned by my master, the one who has given me all of these blessings. بِيَدِي عَبْدِي مُسْتَوْدِعَهَا. He says, literally, brothers and sisters, this is the example. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَا أُعْتِ أَحَدْ وَلَا أَمْنَعَ أَحَدْ لَا أُعْتِ أَحَدًا وَلَا أَمْنَعَ أَحَدًا وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسٍ أَضَعُ هَيْثُ. He says that, sorry, let me plug the battery in. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith that I swear by Allah, indeed, I don't give anyone anything and I don't hold back anything from anyone. Indeed, I am only a distributor. I put it wherever my Lord told me to put it. And so what he's trying to highlight at this point, brothers and sisters, is that whatever we do, we stop seeing it as something we did for us, and we only see our actions as something that we did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a beautiful concept, and it's a beautiful level that we have to strive to reach. فَهُوَ مُتَصَرِّفْ فِي تِلْكَ الْخَزَائِنِ بِأَمْرِ الْمَحْدِ تَصَرُّفَ الْعَبْدَ الْمَحْدِ الَّذِي وَظِيفَتُهُ تَنْفِيذُ أَوَامِرِ سَيِّدِهِ فَلِلَّهِ فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْمَالِكِ الْحَقِّ وَكُلُّ مَا بِيَدِ خَلْقِهِ هُوَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِ وَأَمْلَاكِهِ وَخَزَائِنِهِ. You know, I'm going to translate this, but before I translate this, you know, he says, all the actions that you do, فَهُوَ مُتَصَرِّفْ, you are using all of the treasures of Allah. Your usage of them is like tasarruful abd. You're using them just like a slave using your master's things. They're not yours. They belong to Allah. وَكُلُّ, he says, whatever is in بِيَدِ خَلْقِهِ, whatever is in the hand of his creation, وَهُوَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِ, it is Allah's, it is his, under his amlak, his ownership, وَخَزَائِنْ, his treasures. And أَفَاضَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ, he gave it to them, us, the creation, لِيَمْتَحِنَهُمْ, to test us in our spending and our holding back. All right, hold on. Let me break this down real quick. What Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala is trying to explain to us is that once you realize that it's not yours, once you realize that everything you have is a loan, everything you have is a loan, then you deal with it differently than if it was completely yours. And there's an entitlement that comes when you say it's mine. You know, it's funny, subhanAllah, you know, all of my children are little toddlers still, mashallah. You know, our youngest just hit 4 years old, alhamdulillah. Make dua for him. But you know, sometimes, you know, at the age of 3 and 4, they'll say things like, oh, that's mine, this is mine, this and that, whatever, whatever. And here we are, the parents, working hard, trying to earn, trying to get them things. And to hear that statement, this is mine, it kind of, as a parent, hits you different, yo. Straight up, it hits you completely different, because you kind of like, what you mean mine? Like, do you realize? And until you live it, yo, you might not feel it, yo. Until you live it, you might not feel it. But I definitely feel it now. And so, subhanAllah, the beauty here is that once you realize it's not mine, that changes how you use it. That change, when you realize your eyes are not yours, you're just using them, then you use them in a way that the one you're giving them back to wants them to be used. I hope y'all feel me on that. I don't know if y'all feel me on that. When you realize the things that you have aren't yours, then when it's taken away, you even have a completely different perspective on it. And exactly, that's the concept of amana. Like, this is entrusted to you. Let's see how you're going to do with it. But psychologically, I think that's so empowering, because it completely changes how I use whatever the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given me are. And that's what he says next. He says, these are things that Allah has bestowed upon you. لِيَمْتَحِنَهُمْ فِي بَطْلِ وَإِمْسَكِ. This is Allah, things that Allah has bestowed upon you to test how you spend and hold back. وَهَلْ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ. And the question is, will they spend it looking at their, witnessing their servitude or of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearful from his punishment, trying to get close to him, trying to gain his love? Or are they going to spend it based out of their own selfish desires and their own lust and desires? Wa mujibu taba, whatever they want to do. Fiyu'ta li hawa, they give based on their desire, they hold back based on their desire. فَيَكُونُ مُتَصَرِّفْ تَصَرِّفِ الْمَالِكِ. This person spends like they're the owner, not like they're the owned. SubhanAllah. You know, they say power corrupts. But for a Muslim, power shouldn't corrupt you, because you realize that the power is only a temporary power given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to test. So you never have absolute power. You never have absolute anything. It's such a beautiful concept, because it completely changes how we interact with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then he says, continue where we left off. He goes, وَغَايَتُهُ الرَّغْبَةَ فِي مَا عِنْدَ الْخَلْقِ. This person spending for their desires, all they're seeking is whatever people have. Fame, position, status, praise, more dunya. Or they're spending and using these things out of fear that they won't get those things we just named. وَإِذَا كَانَ مَسْتَ تَصَرُّفُ. When this is the reason why you spend, that puts you in the position of a king. You're looking at yourself in the position of the owner. وَخَرَجَ عَنْ حَدِّ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. You have completely left, because listen, if you're spending the blessings of Allah to gain status, to gain more fame, to gain more position, you're using the blessings for you. I hope y'all feel me. You're using the blessings for you. Where what we're learning right now is, wait, you were literally given that to see if you're going to use it for you or use it the way Allah wants you to use it. Now, let's bring this conversation back inside. Like, okay, so what about me buying myself some food? You know, what about buying things for my own well-being? No, that's part of what Allah has ordered you to spend on. So don't get it twisted. And there is a fine line between spending for yourself, buying nice things, and spending your time, your efforts, whatever it may be for yourself versus doing it for the sake of Allah, that's where intention comes in. You know, like, for example, if you take the example of exercising, now you can exercise because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this body as an amana. So you want to stay healthy and things like that. But you can also be exercising, same two people next to each other. And the only reason is for you. It has no intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can't even really look at the action. It's all about you looking at your heart on a deeper level and why, who you're using that blessing for Allah or for your own self. Now he goes forward. He says, وَنَسِيَ فَقْرَ. At this point, you have forgot your poverty before Allah. Once you start spending on just you, and I have already put that in context, once you start spending like you're the owner, you have forgotten your impoverishment to Allah, your faqr. وَلَوْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ. And this is the key. If you truly knew yourself, truly, حق المعرفة, then you would know that you are a slave to Allah and that you are being tested, ممتحن في سورة المالك. You are being tested because you are a slave that has been put in the position, the form of authority. And this is where Allah says, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then we made you, khulafa on the earth. لِنَنْدُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. To see what you would do. This is really deep. He says, the trick and the reason why the test is so difficult is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, He's also made it seem like you're in charge. But that's part of the whole test, to see if you forget and become deluded by the blessings, or you remember, you know, subhanAllah, right? So it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to see. And what I want everyone to understand, why are we having this deep conversation about me being owned by Allah? And because it completely changes the motivation behind the actions that you do. We're gonna end with this because we only try to keep this class like 45 minutes or so. There's a bit more, inshallah, but hear me out on this. The reason why this is so important is because when you wake up in the morning, do you look at your debt to humanity by your debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you look at the blessings that you have as your means to pay back that debt? Or do you look at it as, what can I get more for myself through these blessings? Because these are my blessings. It's a complete shift. It's a complete shift in how we look at the world and the inspiration behind righteous deeds. And so again, the concept is, what we're talking about for the last 3 weeks is the concept of faqr. And faqr means to be poor, impoverished. That means you are a slave to Allah. That means you own nothing that you own. You own nothing that you own. That means, let me see how the owner wants me to use these things, and I'll use them in that way. And then, now this is the mind-blowing part. And then if you pass the test in Jannah, you become the true owner of everything. You feel me? I hope y'all feel me on that. If you pass the test, then you become the true owner of every blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. There's no more debt to pay back. It's yours now. This is your Jannah. Go where you want. Do as you will. Do whatever you want. But in this world, if you get deceived, you got the small end of the stick, yo. Yo, if we get deceived, we get the small end of the stick, man. Straight up. Small end, man. Okay, I think we can stop here, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. This is a beautiful book. I'm not going to rush it. We're going to read it nice and slow, inshallah. A lot of these concepts are very dense, mashallah. And if it sounds repetitive, alhamdulillah, وَذَكِّرْ فِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But in reality, it's not repetitive. It's just going deeper and deeper. On the Arabic textbook, we're on page 21. If you have the Arabic PDF, we're on page 21. At the bottom of the page. وَحَقِيقٌ بِهَذِهِ الْمُمْتَحَنِ أَنْ يُوكَلَ إِلَى مَا عِدَّأَتْهُ نَفْسُهُ مِنَ الْحَالَاتِ وَالْمَلَكَاتِ مَعَ الْمَالِكَ الْحَقْ سُبْحَانَهُ. All right. So, جزاكم الله خير, everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all, guide us to true servitude before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Free us. I'm going to say free us from that seeing our own actions, being impressed by our own actions, and allow us to keep moving forward, inshallah ta'ala. All right. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone. If the classes seem shorter than in person, I know some of us, we used to have the live class. Inshallah, man, things will get back to the way they were, and we'll have our in-person halakas again. But, screen time is fatiguing for everyone. So, I think we got to keep it to 40 minutes, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this true meaning of faqr, impoverishment, and being completely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every single moment, witnessing His power and how all of the blessings belong to Him. We are only borrowing, using, and being tested on how we use these blessings. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone. May Allah bless all of you. And I'll see you guys. Well, every morning at 8:30, we have a prophetic dhikr, supplications. You can join me 8:30 a.m. We have that every morning, ideally every morning. So you can join us on Instagram for that as well. But we'll have this session next Wednesday, 7:30, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah. رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.